them. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Their hope was in their ethnicity, their relationship to what's gone before, to a person before, to Abraham. Oh, so many in our nation, their trust, their hope, and because of this, they'll never get to heaven. They won't be found there. Their hope is in their religion. What the nation has been, how it was blessed, like Israel. The religious heritage they received and benefited from. And many, many benefit, don't they, from a Christian upbringing and Christian influence, steeped in these things. But they can't save you. And there are those. And that is their hope. And you cannot prize them apart from this. What the nation has been. It's Christian influence, Christian upbringing, Christian churches, service in a church, religion, prayer, Bible reading. Yet nothing of Christ in their religion, truly. Abraham is our father. That's our hope, said these Jews. Oh, we are Christian. We're a Christian country. We've a Christian Bible, Christian churches, Christian services, Christian ritual, Christians that teach us, Christian ministers. Everything Christian, but they are not Christian. That might be you. Is that your trust and is that your hope? Then there'll be those, and he certainly won't be in heaven, but in Philippians chapter 2, there are those who will not heed this text. And I think we need to look very carefully at this particular one. This may apply to those that have a profession of faith. Oh, I am a Christian. I will go to heaven. Well, let's see Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, but there are multitudes of professing Christians, and they're very casual about spiritual life and their walk. See, everything was signed, sealed, and delivered with their profession. But there is going to be no work. There's no working out salvation, not with any measure of a healthy fear and trembling. No, not at all. No, true Christians are often the ones that are fearful and trembling, sometimes doubting. That can be a very healthy sign. Sometimes driven back into themselves and examining themselves. That's good if it doesn't become excessive. It's good to check out now and again where my hope lies and rests. Am I still trusting in Christ alone and only in Him? Then I can have confidence and I can be encouraged, because that's where Scripture will take me. But there are some, they've got a profession, but no working out anything. Nothing serious about serving the Lord. Nothing serious about walking with God. Never a serious reflection upon besetting sins. Never a serious battle engaged in against their sin. Yet the apostle says, oh, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The salvation you have, and of course that doesn't mean get some great strength and power of your own, for the next verse tells us wonderfully, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Here's the authentic Christian. They are working. They are walking. They are battling, they are fighting, they are referred to as soldiers. They engage in spiritual battle, spiritual reflection and thinking. They endure hardships for Christ. They take their stand. They belong to Christ. They will not deny him. He said, therefore, I will not deny them before my Father on that day. So Christian, professing Christian, do you engage? Are you working out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Do you fight the world? Has your nature been changed? Do you see the world differently since you were saved? Do you see the world not as your friend, but your foe? Do you recognize, realize it's opposed to God and his rule? It's in rebellion. And you want no part of that any longer. You are on the side of Christ. You loathe the standards of the world. You lament that you fall short of the standards of God. That's healthy. For we know we'll not be perfect here. But that's good. You want what pleases the Lord. Isn't that so? Well, Christians do. That would be part of working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, I hope you're not sitting casually thinking, Christian, I'll do that tomorrow. Don't you know you must engage? There'd be a fight and a battle. You'll need the power of God to sustain you. Don't delay. Don't wait any longer. Run to Christ now. Get his work. Get his power and the power of the Spirit and begin. There's danger in delay. Use the means of grace, professing Christian. Do you still use the means of grace? Are you zealous? Are you careful? Fighting indwelling sin? Or can you now have worldly pursuits and entertainments as you always had? Worldly companions, worldly company. Or do you realize the danger there and you live to please Christ and to walk with him? Then lastly, certainly those will not be in heaven who cannot rejoice, glory nor boast in the cross. Oh, there are multitudes, nominal Christians, and the cross and the sacrifice of Christ and the sufferings of Christ are an abomination to them. But a true Christian rejoices and boasts and glories, like the apostle himself, in the cross of Christ. For therein is our only hope. There is the work of God manifest. There Christ deals with our guilt, our shame, and our sin. There the glory of God is manifest. There the supreme love of God is displayed at Calvary and in the cross. And no true Christian will ever deride or despise or make light of the cross. They'll certainly never shun it or run away from it. They'll boast in it. They'll tell others, that's my only hope. They'll love the Lord. They'll love the Savior. They will say with Joseph Hart, and we sang this as one of our hymns, on his dying love alone I depend with all my need. Deeds of righteousness I've none, nothing of good works to plead. Oh, how Christ must act for me, starting in Gethsemane. Yes, but Gethsemane went to Calvary. Christ left the garden and went to the cross. The Apostle Paul says, God forbid, but God forbid that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What's the cross mean to you? Wonderful display of God's love. Oh, I trust so. But more than that, before you can appreciate the love of God, is it the place where man's sin is dealt with? Where man is reconciled, as it were, to God? Only there, and only through the Christ of the cross, who died to reconcile sinners to God. Is your only hope in the cross? If you can never come to boast and glory in the cross, you'll never be in heaven. Come to the Savior. Call upon him while you may. Oh, you may not appreciate it now, and you may lament. Your heart is like stone, like flint. Well, come as you are to Christ. He will deal with your feelings. He will deal with affections. The Holy Spirit will begin the ministry of sanctification. Then your love for Christ will begin to grow. Then you'll engage in the battle. Then you'll hear and you'll heed and you'll be wanting to obey. Then you'll so clearly declare not only your trust in Christ and boast in the cross, then you'll say, my Lord and my God. Well, turn to him while you may. Don't delay.